To Ukraine now, which is edging back onto the front pages. Last April, pro-Russian separatists launched their battle for independence in eastern Ukraine with Russian help, most people believe. Since then, more than 4,000 people have been killed, more than a million more displaced. And now the U.S. and NATO say Moscow is again moving troops across the border into Ukraine. Yesterday, Samantha Power, U.S. ambassador to the U.N., told the Security Council that Russia is violating the ceasefire that was agreed to in September.
Where Russia has made commitments, it has failed to meet them. Russia has negotiated a peace plan and then systematically undermined it at every step. It talks of peace, but it keeps fueling war.
The BBC's David Stern is in Kiev. David, Russia is denying sending troops and tanks into eastern Ukraine, but we're reading reports of people seeing the little green men. Remind us what that means.
The little green men, that's a reference that goes back to Crimea, when suddenly a number of military people, military personnel in green camouflage uniforms appeared. But these were unmarked uniforms. And Russia initially denied that these people were from the Russian military. But then after Crimea voted in a referendum and then was annexed by Moscow, President Putin admitted, yes, that these were in fact Russian soldiers. Again, now we have the situation in eastern Ukraine. We have a number of people in very nice, what appear to be very official military uniforms. But again, it's unmarked. And so the reference is little green men or polite men, as the Russians refer to them, because that's what they were said to have been in Crimea, that this is, in fact, yet another Russian incursion or, as the people here are saying it, yet another Russian invasion.
Well, how can Russia deny that it has troops crossing the border when the little green men are appearing across the border?
How they can do that is obviously they can do it. Until you, if you have a person who's not wearing a uniform with any insignia, there's always the ability to say, well, that's not ours. Yeah. It's becoming very, very difficult. Western journalists have not only seen the green men, they've actually spoken to Russian military personnel. They've said there was an instance where the correspondent from the FT was in Lugansk, and they admitted to being Russian soldiers. There is equipment that only belongs to the Russian army. There are sightings of it crossing the border. And I wouldn't say most importantly, but very crucially, especially for the Russians, there are bodies of Russian military people going back to Russia now. Moscow denies that they are involved here, but as I say, it becomes extremely difficult to maintain this. But as long as they maintain it, they can always say that, no, this is not our people.
Well, NATO's top commander, U.S. General Philip Breedlove, has real concerns about what you're describing. Let's listen.
What worries me the most is that we have a situation now where the former international border, Ukraine and Russia, is completely porous, and that is not a good situation.
And this idea of troops flowing one way, bodies perhaps flowing the other way. But David, there have been points in this conflict where it seemed as if there was going to be some sort of final confrontation. Where do you think we are now?
We're at a very crucial point right now. There are great fears in Kiev, where I am right now, but elsewhere, and as we've heard from General Breedlove, also in among NATO, that this could be escalating into something else, because it's not just green men that they've been seeing in eastern Ukraine. It's a huge influx of troops, artillery, and tanks. And the question is, why would Russia be doing this if they weren't planning on escalating the conflict? It's November, it's getting colder. That's a lot of people and a lot of equipment to move, and it's very expensive, even if you just want to put pressure on Kiev. Now, that's possible. Russia does seem to bring pressure onto Kiev in any number of ways, but the worry is that this is going to now either escalate even further, and it should be said that there is fairly intense fighting right now, as it is. The ceasefire never really took hold, or that it could erupt into something closer to full-scale combat. And then the question is, where do you know, what happens from there? Is it just going to be in the east, or is it going to spread elsewhere? As it has been the question ever since this conflict began.
Right. And to remind listeners picturing it, the east is the border with Russia. Kiev, where you are, is much further inland. Last question. There are stories circulating as well that in the south, Russia may have nuclear capabilities in Crimea, which, as you remind us, was annexed in March. What are you hearing?
Well, the same thing that you're hearing. Apparently, there is now military equipment and troops that are pouring into there, difficult to say how many. And apparently, they have moved missiles with nuclear capabilities into that area. Now, whether that means that they are actually nuclear weapons, that's something else. But the equipment that they have moved there, apparently, according, again, to NATO, we don't have any hard evidence yet. So we have to take this with a little bit of a disclaimer. But Russian airplanes have been flying into Europe, have been testing NATO reaction there. So there's any number of things that are going on right now that in themselves are not necessarily alarm bells, but potentially could lead to something much more serious.
The BBC's David Stern, he's in Kyiv in Ukraine. David, thank you.
Thank you.